we've been going through a series called At the Movies. We started off with The Shack, and that one, just admittedly, was a little bit on the heavy side. And then we've had a clip from Sully, and then last week I understand it was Captain America. So hopefully some of you left here feeling invincible for some of the things that Pastor Anthony was teaching us about that. Well, today we're going to get a clip from the theologically adept movie Zootopia. Okay? And Zootopia is an animated feature, which many of you probably have never seen before, unless you have children or grandchildren at home that are watching these kind of movies. But today, our theme we're going to be talking about is really about patience. How many of you are really good at being patient? A couple, all right. How many of you would just candidly admit, I'm not very patient and I struggle with patience? Okay. I'm going to hold up both hands. Sometimes I love to stand up here and pontificate about the lovelier things of life, and I can speak down to the people because I have mastered these things. This is not one of those. Because I know, and in fact, I love certain passages of the Bible. I love John 3:16, for God so loved the world. The one that I struggle with are things like the fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and faithfulness and, you know, self-control. I'm not good at many of those. And it becomes a mirror, a reflection. Every time I think I've got life figured out and I'm a pretty good guy and I'm doing good, and so God ought to love me just the way I am, then I begin to look in the mirror of the Scripture and say, no, I'm struggling here, I'm struggling here. Maybe I'm not done yet. Maybe God's not done with me and I still have things to learn and to grow. So today we'll take a look at this clip. It is an animated feature, and there's going to be three main characters in it. And the first one is Nick. He's the fox, and he's just kind of smooth and just easygoing. He's just one of those people who just kind of rolls along with life. I want you to figure out which of these three characters you are, okay? The second one is Flash, Flash, 100-yard dash. He's a sloth. He's not in a hurry. In fact, his name is really ironic because he's really not in a hurry at anything that he does. And then the third character is Officer Judy, who is a bunny rabbit and is always in a hurry. And she's trying, it's a DMV office, and they're trying to get information from Flash, and she needs it in a hurry. Okay, be honest now, as long as we're making confessions, how many of you have stood in the 10 items or less and counted the number of items of the person in front of you? Yeah, it's like, 14, lady, what part of 14 don't you understand? 10 or less, 10 or less. I'm in a hurry, I have two things, you have 14 things, you're in my way. We get frustrated when people don't do what they're supposed to do, when things don't go our way. Or I'm going to just confess to you right now that traffic is the bane of my existence. I used to live in Temple Terrace, and I had to work in first Odessa, and then it was Pinellas County. I used to cross the bridge both ways when it was only two lanes and somebody had a flat tire every day. It was just frustrating. And so I would love to say, let me take a little poll here. How many of you resonate with the character of Nick? Nick the fox, he just kind of easy go and he just kind of rolls along with the punches of life. Anybody, we got any Nicks in here? Not too many. I got a few. Okay, good. God bless you. We're glad that you're here. We could use some more members like that, okay? All right. Now, how many of you, come on, we're in Spring Hill. You have to be honest, okay? How many of you are Flash, Flash, 100-yard dash, and really move at a sloth's pace? Anybody going to admit to that one? Oh, come on, people. I've been behind you before, I'm telling you. I know, okay? All right, so then that means a lot of you, how many of you resonate with Officer Judy, the bunny, who's always got a thousand things going in her? All right, there we go. That's kind of what I thought. That's what I imagined. And so, you know, one of our frustrating things is when we do get in traffic and we're behind somebody, just seems to be holding us up, and we keep edging over to see if we can get around them. And when we finally get our chance, we gun it and we get around them, but we can't help ourselves. What we do is then we give them the stare. Like, really, people? Don't you have anything to do? Don't you have anywhere to go? Now, the really awkward time is when you realize suddenly, as you're giving them the menacing stare, it's somebody you know. Somebody from church. Oh, and then you have to give them that awkward wave. Oh, hello, Pastor. Good to see you. Now, that really is funny, because I guarantee you, you are not behind me thinking he should be going faster. I'm just going to be honest with you. In fact, my biggest concern about riding a motorcycle is not that somebody's going to pull out in front of me. It's that I'm so darn recognizable. Because if anything, it's going to be me on the bike looking, okay, I've got 1,000 places to go. I've got to be somewhere, and I've got to get there. And so I take my chance, and I'll get around you, and I'll give you the stare. And then I go, well, hello, parishioner. Look at you. Going the speed limit. Isn't that special? See you at church on Sunday. We're talking about patience. And that's just, I have to admit that. I was telling somebody, even after I had a pretty major surgery last year, and I was supposed to not do anything for about a year, 2 weeks later, I'm tired of sitting around. I've got the vacuum, and I'm vacuuming the house. You know, it's just, I cannot sit still for any length of period of time. There's always something to be done, and it needs to be done now, and it needs to be done yesterday, and it needs to be done in a hurry. And so when I realized that this is the clip that Anthony picked out and then I'm going to have to preach on it, it's like, no, not this one, because I'm preaching as one of you, not someone who has this one mastered. But we can learn a lesson about being patient, right? The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience. We need to learn to be patience people, and here's one of the things that I want to help us to understand. Even many of the things that we're impatient about are things that we cannot control, okay? Like traffic. You can't do anything about it, so let's turn stress into a strength. So when you're behind that person, in fact, let me tell you the story. There was a lady who was in traffic and her car broke down, did the dreaded breakdown thing. And then there was a guy right behind her just laying on the horn as if that's going to help her start her car. And so after several failed attempts at trying to start her car, she finally got out of the car, very gingerly walked back to his car and said, "Please, excuse me, sir, my car seems to have broken down and have not been able to get it started again. But if you would like to come up to there and start my car for me, I'll be glad to stay back here and lay on the horn." Because laying on the horn isn't going to fix the car any faster. And yet we just get frustrated, we're mad at them. What do you do driving a car like that? It's in my way and you're keeping me from getting to my appointment, from what the things that I need to do. And so we need to turn that stress into a strength. Maybe the person in front of us really needs prayer. Maybe they know they've been trying to get the last miles out of their car and they didn't know it was going to break down right there in front of you. They didn't do it on purpose. They're not trying to hurt you. But what if instead we become the people of God? We become truly patient with those around us. And we pray for them and encourage them and turn that stress into a strength. Well, now I'm going to share with you a passage from the scripture. It's from 1 Samuel. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn there, 1 Samuel chapter 13. We'll be looking at 7b through 14. And let me just set this up for you, because it's King Saul who has just recently become king. And God is frustrated with the Israelites because he wanted to be their king. He wanted to speak to Samuel, who is the high priest or prophet of this day for Israel. And he wanted to speak to Samuel, have Samuel tell the people what to do, just like he did with Moses. And then everybody would follow suit and it would be great. The people cried out for a king. And so he gave them a king in Saul and said, fine, you want a king, here's your king. It's King Saul. But the problem for today is that the Philistines, the wicked, mean, and nasty Philistines, are trying to wage war against Israel. So Israel is preparing for battle. But it's important for the people of God not to do anything without asking God's blessings. And so they said that we need to wait upon the Lord and we need to wait and pray. Now you can imagine a king who's getting ready. He sees the army and they're building against them and they look large and they look numerous and they look fierce. And even the Israelites are starting to question themselves, can we really defeat this army that's coming against us? But said we needed to wait on the Lord in prayer. Now this is where the patience comes in. Because Saul says, we need to ask the Lord's blessing. Samuel says, you're exactly right. But you know what? I've got to go on vacation for 7 days. That doesn't say that. That's Greg's paraphrase, by the way. But I don't know why, but Samuel said, we'll do it in 7 days. We'll do it in the Lord's timing. And so they wait for the 7 days. But on the morning of the 7th day, Saul says, I can't stand it anymore, because they've been waiting for 7 days. They've been trying to be patient, but now it's the 7th day and Samuel is not back. And he realizes that every day he waits, every hour he waits, one of his army sneaks off during the night because they are scared. They are afraid. They don't think they can defeat the Philistines. And Saul is looking around and he's trusting in his own army. He's trusting in his own strength, but he's saying, hurry up, Lord, because they're running away and they're frightened. And if I don't go now, I'm not going to have the strength to be able to overcome. Let me ask you the question, in whom is he really trusting? Is he really trusting the Lord for the battle, or is he trusting in his own power, in his own strength? And let's take a look what happens here. Let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 13. Verses 7a through 14. Saul remained at Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter. And so he said, bring me the burnt offerings and the fellowship offerings. And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived. And Saul went out to greet him. What have you done? He asked Samuel. Saul replied, when I saw that the men were scattering and you did not come at the set time, and that Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have sought not the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering. You acted foolishly, Samuel said. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God gave you. And if you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So many of you have been wondering, you know about King Saul. And he was immediately followed up by another king. Who knows who the next king was? Anybody shout it out? King David. That's exactly right. And you will hear that in the scripture, David is referred to a man after God's own heart. So Saul's impatience cost him everything, including his kingship over Israel, because he was not patient and he did not wait on God. So let's take a look in our outline here this morning, and we'll take a look at some of the lessons we can learn. And the first one is, justification precedes many sins. Now let me just make it clear. Samuel didn't say what time on the 7th day he would show up. And as soon as Saul finished offering the burnt sacrifice, Samuel showed up. And you can imagine Saul, being impatient, ran out, saw him coming, and ran out to tell him before anybody else can what he did. But his word was true, said he'd be back in 7 days. He was back in 7 days. But Saul began justifying why he took it on himself. He usurped the role of the high priest of Samuel and took it upon himself and said, well, he's not coming. He's not coming in time. And look, every day we wait, our army disappears even more. I don't even know if we can win right now. So Samuel, sorry you didn't show up on time, but I had to do what I had to do. Many times, justification precedes many sins. Now, when we're young in the Lord, many times we will make poor choices, but we really don't know any better. But most of us here have been in the Lord long enough to we know what is good. We know what God wants from us, and yet when we want something different, we begin to make excuses. We begin to justify what we are doing, even though we know it is wrong. Well, God wants me to be happy. God does not want you happy. God wants you blessed. He wants you in a right relationship with Him. He doesn't want you to be so impatient that you go out and do things on your own, no matter how many other people you confuse and justify that you're doing the right thing. No matter how many people pat you on the back, I'd have done the same thing. Some of you might be even compassionate towards Saul. Wow, his army was disappearing. Who was he really trusting in? He wasn't trusting in God. Why even ask God's favor if you just think you're going to go out and do it in your own strength? I love what Billy Graham's wife said. If she hadn't waited on the Lord, she would have married the wrong man 3 times over. But each time God said no, she waited, and she met and lived with the love of her life. I want to ask you all, now, if this is you this morning, don't raise your hand right here, especially with this first one. But when we begin to justify the things, I married this person, I took that job, I quit my job, I bought that car, I bit somebody's head off, I honked because they were going too slowly. Whatever it is, we begin to justify in our own minds. But instead, what we need to do is to turn it around and move a stress into a strength by taking on patience and learning. Patience is a virtue, to learn how to wait on the Lord and say, we will not move until we hear from God. Number two, God is not as concerned about the battle in front of us as the battle within. You say, how can you say that? I mean, here's Samuel. He's up against a wicked, mean, and nasty people, the Philistines, who were about to charge in and take them over. They're the people of God. How could God possibly let that happen? And God says, you know what? That's not the most important battle, because all they can do is take your life. Now, when you hear that, you go, well, that's pretty important. They're taking my life. And inappropriately so. But Jesus says, don't worry about that kind of stuff. Because what you really want is to focus on all of eternity. You do the right things here. You learn character development through patience and waiting on the Lord. Had Saul waited on the Lord, he would have been established as a king forever, a man after God's own heart instead of David, because he wasn't willing to wait. I want to ask you how you're doing with the battle. Are you out there busy justifying the things that you know are wrong because it seems right in your world? Or are you learning to be patient? When you lift things up to God, to lift them up in prayer and to be able to wait on God. Because there's a more important battle than the one of this earth. If you're on this earth, you get to live here 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years, maybe 110 years at the most. But you know what? There is a second death, a spiritual death. And if we give it up here, then we could give up our entire eternity with God. God is not as much concerned about the things that concern us, the battles that are right in front of us, as he is about the internal battle, which is really an eternal battle for our souls. And then number three, here's a passage from Romans chapter 5, 3 through 5. Paul writes, "Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." So number three, patience builds godly character. In his letter to the Romans, I want to remind you, he's writing to a church in Rome. But this is a place in Rome where Christians are being persecuted. They are being imprisoned. They are being beaten. They are being killed. They are being crucified. And even one point in their history, they were taking Christians who would not renounce the Christian faith, and they would light, put them on a pole, dip them in tar, and light them on fire to light the streets of Rome. These are the momentary afflictions and battles that Paul is writing into and saying, don't worry about this stuff. Persevere, hang in there, have patience with God, because perseverance develops character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us. I want us to remember there's an eternal battle, an internal battle that's going on for our souls. And God is asking us to be our king, to let him be our God, to lead us. And many times in this life, we cannot change the things that are in front of us, the things that are frustrating us, the things that are causing us stress. But by turning to the Lord, we can develop character, we can develop patience, and that patience will lead us to strength, character, and hope.